In previous episodes, we've looked at the structure of the Bible by historical stages and also how the books of the Bible are grouped together. Recognizing the structure of the biblical text can give us important insights. Well, another framework for examining the Bible is through the lens of genre. The Bible has a lot of variety, so today we're going to explore the key genres of the Bible, and this will give us a better understanding of why we look to the book of Acts for the plan of salvation. It's a really key point, so join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. Today we're going to look at the characteristics of biblical genres. Now, genre is just a fancy way of saying the particular category of something. The type of genre affects the style of writing and the content. For example, if you go to the library, they will often have books grouped by genre, such as biographies, poetry, mysteries, folklore, and science fiction. Books fit into a particular genre because their style has a particular set of characteristics, and it affects how we read that type of book. If you read poetry, you have a very different set of expectations than if you're reading something like a mystery novel. Poetry has rhythm, and the writer often uses literary techniques like symmetry or parallelism, whereas a mystery novel will have characters and a plot that grows to a climax. Now, maybe a mystery story involves a clue in the form of a poem, and maybe there's even some romance. So there may be multiple styles or subgenres, such as poetry and romance, within a genre like a mystery novel. But the mystery novel still maintains certain overarching characteristics appropriate to its genre. Certain texts have similarities in style, and being aware of the characteristics of that style is really helpful. Knowing the genre of a text can help the reader have appropriate expectations when approaching the biblical text. The reader can anticipate and understand the content better. In the Bible, we can look at genre at three levels. There's a larger literary unit of a whole book. There can be a smaller section within a book, such as a passage, or even as small as an individual saying. But today, we're just going to focus on looking at the major genres of the books of the Bible. They are history, also called narrative sometimes, poetry, wisdom, prophecy, epistles, and apocalyptic. There are different ways to group some of them, and we'll talk about that as we go along. The first genre is history. It is often also called narrative, and the meaning's pretty straightforward. Books in this genre basically tell a story of what happened, so you can see why the names history and narrative both fit. This genre includes the books of Genesis through Esther. The purpose is to document events for an official record or to faithfully pass on the information to future generations. For example, in the Old Testament, the books of Genesis and Exodus are both epic narratives, but even the small book of Ruth is a narrative because it tells the story of a family. Now, within the group of Old Testament books considered history or narrative, sometimes the first five books of the Bible are grouped as their own genre. The five books of the law include historical narrative, but they also include a lot of rules, statutes, and instructions. And they were laying out God's covenant with Israel, so it can be appropriate to group the five books of the law as being their own set or genre. In the New Testament, the Gospels and the book of Acts are historical narratives that talk about the life of Jesus and the events of the founding and spreading of the early church. In historical narrative books, the author tells us what happened, highlighting whatever he deems most important to be shared based on the unction of God's Spirit. Sometimes the Gospels are grouped as their own genre as well because they are specific to the life and teachings of Jesus. The word gospel means good news, so sometimes the books specifically relating to the gospel are grouped together. Another genre is poetry. In the Old Testament, the books of Psalms and the Song of Psalms, or the Song of Solomon, fall into this category. And there are also sections of poetry in other books. Poetry uses vivid, figurative language, repetition, parallelism, and other literary devices to express ideas and especially to express emotions. Another genre is wisdom. Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are wisdom books. They teach what it means to live a good life. The book of Proverbs includes pithy sayings, and the book of Job includes cyclical laments. Wisdom books are meant to shape the moral and ethical lives of their readers. They often cover very practical material. Sometimes wisdom and poetry are grouped together as one genre because they talk about the pain and the struggles of life and what it means to live for God. Another genre is prophecy. The Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, plus the 12 prophets, communicated God's word to his covenant people. They shared God's direct message. From the prophets, we learn about the condition of God's people. Were they being disobedient, arrogant? Were they frightened? And God's response to what the Israelites or other nations were doing. The New Testament has a genre called epistles. Epistles were letters written to specific individuals or to groups for various reasons. Most of the epistles were written by Paul, but there are also ones written by Peter, James, John, and Jude. These letters were typically written to address particular situations, so scholars spend a lot of time trying to determine the circumstances that led to the writing of the letters. The epistles include information about the theology of the writers, and also what challenges the early church was facing. These letters were meant to teach and encourage and sometimes chastise. The final book of the Bible is prophetic, but it is often considered its own genre called apocalyptic. It is a prophecy of what is to come, written as an urgent message. And there is a lot of symbolic language. So let's put all of this together. If we look at the Bible like a bookcase, like you would find at the library, it would be holding 66 different books grouped by genre. In the section called the Old Testament, we have history, also called narrative, and that includes books of the law. There are books of poetry, wisdom, and prophecy. In the New Testament section, there is history, which includes the four Gospels. There are epistles and apocalyptic prophecy. When we sit down to study the Bible, recognizing what genre we are looking at already gives us a head start in getting at the meaning. When we examine a book from a particular genre, we already know something about the writing style and the purpose. This makes a huge difference in how we interpret the text. For example, if I'm reading a gospel passage or an Old Testament prophecy or a psalm or an epistle, I should have different expectations for each type of book. If I'm reading the book of the prophet Jeremiah, I can't expect him to lay out a detailed narrative of Israel's monarchy. I should look for that in the books of Kings and Chronicles. If I'm studying the book of Psalms, knowing the book is written like poems or songs helps me to expect that some vivid figurative language with strong emotion will be included. If I'm reading one of the Old Testament prophets, I need to understand first what his message meant to his original audience, and then determine if and how that lesson can be applied to modern times. And when I'm reading Paul's epistles, I know that he was writing to believers in churches. One person put it that it's like listening to one side of a two-sided conversation. There are sometimes details to which Paul was referring that we just don't fully understand because Paul didn't need to elaborate on it. He and his original audience clearly knew whatever situations were going on that Paul was addressing. But we have to try to figure out what the issue was and Paul's stance on it so that we can properly glean principles that are still applicable to us today. One of the most important ideas that an understanding of genre helps us is when we look at the plan of salvation. When we look at the layout of the Bible, the whole Old Testament points forward to Jesus. There are prophecies and types and shadows that find fulfillment in him. And that fulfillment is described in the Gospels in the New Testament. Then the formation and growth of the church begins in the book of Acts. Acts details the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Jesus' disciples preached the gospel, and Paul spread the gospel through his missionary journeys. The general epistles and Pauline epistles are letters to churches and to specific people who were already in the church. And then the Bible concludes with the book of Revelation about the end times. When we look at the structure of the Bible by genre, it makes it so much clearer why we get our teachings and practices related to salvation from the book of Acts. That is when the church was formed. And the apostles applied what Jesus had told them and taught them. We are an apostolic church because we follow the teachings of the apostles. Now, what we believe and teach needs to be consistent with the rest of Scripture. We should look at symbols and patterns from the Old Testament. We should look at what Jesus specifically said and did in the Gospels. And we should look to see what Paul, Peter, and others wrote in their letters to believers. There should be a consistency amongst all of them. So we can't glean a doctrine from the book of Acts if it isn't supported by the rest of Scripture. But the gospel message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was foreshadowed by the structure of the Old Testament temple and the sacrificial system. It was enacted by Jesus in the Gospels, and it was taught by the apostles in the book of Acts as the model for salvation. Peter, the apostle with the keys to the kingdom, on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, taught that believers should follow in the steps of Jesus through repentance, baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The pattern is consistent from the Old Testament through to the New Testament. And Peter laid it all out. And then we see examples in the book of Acts of people obeying the gospel message. So we know that adults at an age of knowing repented. They were baptized in the name of Jesus by immersion in water. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Sometimes a person may argue that Paul didn't lay it out that clearly in his epistles, but that's because he was writing to believers who already understood. His letters to the churches were to believers who were already saved. So he may have had to clarify a point here or there that maybe they were misunderstanding. But Paul was not methodically laying out the plan of salvation because his audience had already followed it. The plan of salvation is methodically laid out and modeled in the book of Acts. Again, doctrine has to be consistent across Scripture, but the book of Acts is a historical book establishing the church, and that's why we look to the book of Acts for the plan of salvation. Its genre and where it fits in the framework of the Bible makes it the appropriate book to reference for salvation. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.